So it was interesting. My daughter said she enjoys the lectures that she gets in the vehicle. Or lessons, or life lessons. Okay, not lectures, eh? Okay. When I was five years old, we were driving down one of the main roads in Zimbabwe, and we was past a place that made bread. There was a bread-making business. And there were lots of men that were sitting outside, and what they would do for those that were looking for employment, somebody might just pop out of the business and say, I need five men, and then five guys would rush and perhaps they would get a job. And so it so happens that where the business is at the intersection of a traffic light. And so our car pulled up to a red light, and my father said, if you don't work hard at school, you're going to end up like them. And I was only 5 years old when he said that. It's funny that to this day I remember it. And you'd think that, he was kind of a weird guy. You'd think he would have different conversations with a five-year-old, but that was his way of encouraging me to work hard at school. And so today is of course, Father's Day, and to all the fathers and the dads and the men out there, we just want to honor you today for all that you do. And to be quite honest, it's not easy being a man. I'm not saying that it's easy being a woman either, but because today is Father's Day, I can confess that it's not easy being a man. Vincent van Gogh says, the heart of man is very much like the sea. It has its storms, it has its tides, and in its depths, it has pearls too. That men, even though it seems that we can be shallow, we can be also very deep. And I think that it's a challenge. And the reason why is that, and as I was reflecting this morning, yes, we're talking about encouraging men and say, hurrah, yay, and all that is important. But I just felt as well to talk about, we are living in an age where there are many toys. Men can buy lots of things. For those that like boats, they can buy boats. Those that like planes, they buy planes. Those that like vehicles, they buy vehicles. And so, but I want to say today that as a man, and even though it's not easy being a man, that it is okay for you to not feel good and to go talk to somebody. That it's quite easy that in the midst of all that we're going through, all the struggles and sometimes the burdens that, or the expectations, the heaviness of those, we tend to forget about ourselves, that we actually need to look after ourselves, because we can only be good for our families if we are good. And if we're not good, then we're just going to give our families the leftovers of what remains. And so my encouragement is, there is nothing wrong to go and speak to somebody. I can confess that I also have a person that I go to and speak to. The reason I do that, not because I've got lots of skeletons in the back, but it's also because I want to be the best me. I want to sort of like deal with whatever things that may be holding me back. And so in going and speaking to somebody, that has given me release. I am a happier person. You should have seen me 22 years ago. Man, I have changed. I have honestly progressed over the years. Was quite a very square person. And my kids still feel I'm a bit square perhaps, but but honestly, I can progressively say that over the years, I have got a bit better. I remember we were driving in the car going to Unami's village in 2004. to get married and to give the, you know, we're going to give the bride price and all of that. And I'm driving the vehicle, and Unami is sitting at the back with my friend Jeremiah, and I overhear a conversation where my friend says, "I never thought I'd be friends with this guy." And Unami was the same. Me too. Never thought, you know that. And my friend Jeremiah in Zimbabwe, we were in a geography class. It must have been geography. And he said to me, and just to show you how I was a weird type person, he said, "What did the lecturer say?" Because, you know, when you're at high school, you're trying to take notes as the teacher is speaking. And he says, what did the teacher say? And I turned around and I said to him, "Why weren't you listening?" I used to be, you know, just a rough type guy. And so over the years, I think I've mellowed out a bit. But I say this, and I say genuinely about being able to speak to somebody. I used to think my father was a weird man. Until I came across this quote, you know, and I always used to bag him, you know, like, "Oh, my old man, he should have done this. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he buy that?" And this quote by Charles Wadsworth says, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong." I think that's possibly where I am, you know, I got my own son, and he probably thinks, "Oh, this guy, you know, there's something wrong with him." But how I value manhood, I recall being, when we were living in Port Hedland, I came to Perth in 2018, and I was in Subiaco, and I was looking to buy some shoes, but I went to a restaurant first because the shop wasn't opened, and I saw a group of white men. Now they were, I don't know why I said they were white men, but they were white men. But they were sitting together having breakfast. They seemed to be a lot of more older guys. They were older men, and they were younger men. And I said to myself, is it not good that you have got men? It's nice to have old men around. It's nice to have, you know, old lions, because they've got lots of stories they can tell you about surviving. And so we do not cast off old lions. I'm not suggesting our men are old, but I'm saying I'm trying to celebrate being old, is that it's actually a very good thing to have old men in our lives. And as I reflect back in my family, all my fathers, my grandmother's children, are dead, 7 of them gone, all males. And as I reflect back and I think of my own father, and just, he was something else, you know, a unique guy. I thought he was weird when I was growing up. But as distance has moved from when he passed away in 2008, I recognize that his words mean so much more to me. And I recall a time where I would say, you know, no matter what happens to me, I know that I can always go back to my father's house. But now that my father is late, there is an emptiness that a man feels when he doesn't have his father. Because now you recognize that, who do I turn to? And then it begins to, lots of questions go off in your mind. But my father's older brother, his name was Godfrey. He was a tall, big guy, and everybody, like, he was just so well respected by his brothers. And to no end, of course, because I think, you know, he was just a nice guy, but he was a strong man. And not strong as in, you know, like overbearing strongness, but just strong and resolute. And that's, we need men have got a battering over the years, and where we've been told to sort of like mellow out, and that's all good. Of course, you know, we need to, you know, go with the times, but we need to be able to be strong. And so I want to celebrate strong men. And so Mark 5, verse 21 to 24, this morning we're going to hear and we're going to learn from one guy, a very interesting story that comes out of the book of Mark, about a man that was faced with a challenge and how he responded as a father. And I'll say, before I say that, I used to have in all my life, I think my father died when I was 30. Yeah, I was 30. And never once did I ever call him dad. I would cringe just the mere thought of saying it. I would absolutely cringe. But father, I'm quite happy with, you know, he was a father to me. Now, he wasn't a dad, you know, and I think people like that word, you know, dad. My kids call me that initially. That was a struggle to accept being called that. But I think it's a good thing. Fathers and dads, more or less it can be, those words can be used interchangeably, but perhaps one may reflect more, just a bit more love and caring, whereas a father is more, you know, like a soldier. But anyway, I never called my father dad. I remember the first, I did it once, and I felt very, not good. So Jesus got into the boat. This is Mark 5, verse 21 to 24. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. In verse 35 to 36, it says, while he was still speaking, and so what's happened here is that Jairus has come, "Lord, my daughter is sick and is about to die. Let's go to my house and lay your hands on her and heal her." There's a huge crowd that's around the Lord, and then from nowhere appears this woman with an issue of blood. And so she comes, and then she touches the Lord, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is really taking his time. And so you can imagine the desperation that Jairus feels, that my issue is urgent. And even though this lady must have been healed, which is a good thing, if we're real with each other, I would have been super ticked. I would have been really ticked off with this lady. How dare you? My daughter's about to die. But anyway, that's just me. So whilst he was still speaking, now, this is what happens after the lady was healed. The message came. Messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." And he must have been saying, "Oh, I knew with that lady. Oh, man. You know, here you've slowed things down. Now my daughter's died." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't be afraid, just have faith." This man, like most fathers and most men, will do anything when they are motivated by love. This was a man that was motivated by the love of his child, and he said, "You know what, I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that I find a way that this lady can be rescued, that this child can be saved, because that child was so precious and so dear to him." And so he did everything within his power. And so what men do is that we don't just throw our hands in the air and say, "Oh, whatever, you know." But he did everything within his power. But he sought a higher power. And this is what we have to recognize, men, is that whenever we come across difficult situations, we obviously do everything within our power. But I think it's quite important that at the same time, we begin to seek a higher power. like what Jairus did. And he humbled himself, recognized that this guy was a leader. He says the leader of the synagogue. He was a ruler in the synagogue of Capernaum. So he was a well-known guy, well-known religious leader. He was part of the group like the Pharisees. And you have to understand that these were guys. He was part of a group of men that were opposed to Jesus at the time. They did not like the Lord because the Lord was showing these guys up all the time and always saying weird things to the Pharisees. He disregarded their strict Sabbath practices. He cast out demons no one else could. He healed people on the Sabbath, and that really ticked them off to no end. But there were a few leaders in the Jewish faith who were willing to consider his teaching and appreciate his miracles. So understand that for him to come and kneel at the feet of Jesus was a big deal. But this is what happens when we are motivated by love, is that we disregard our position when we are desperate for something. Just like us as men and fathers, we love our families, we love our wives, we love our children. We will search the earth for solutions to help our children. That's just who we are. That's what we do. We are motivated by love. Like Jairus, we are men of faith. Jairus and dads are men of faith. They stand on the promises of God, understanding that Jairus as a Pharisee would have had a front row seat to see all the miracles that Jesus was doing. And despite the fact that they may not, the Pharisees were against the works of Jesus, he still saw what the Lord did and said, I have faith that this man can come and lay hands on my child and my child would be set free. This is what we do when we are faced with obstacles. We don't run, we run to the Lord. And we stand in faith knowing that God is going to be able to help us transition through whatever it is that we're going through. And even sometimes if it's not the answer that we need, he gives us the strength that we need to endure whatever is coming up against us. Jairus was able to push through and to borrow strength. So whenever we are faced with obstacles, men, we push through and we borrow strength. And what does that mean, to borrow strength? Here he is, he's just got the news that, forget about it. There's no point. And the Lord stopped him and says, don't be afraid, just have faith. And so when we've come to the end of our limits, we need to rely and to borrow strength from somebody else. And we borrow that strength from, like Jairus did, from the Lord himself, from the words that come, the words that are in the Bible. We borrow strength from those that are around us. This is why it's very important that when you do life, you do it with other people. And it's quite interesting that on most of the shows I've watched on the Discovery Channel about lions, very rarely do you see a lion by itself. We're talking a full-grown male lion. It's either two or the other three together. They become a band. I think that one of the key mistakes we can make is to isolate ourselves from other people. Because the moment we do that, when we are faced with obstacles, what happens is that we don't have anybody to borrow strength from. We know that perhaps it's quite easy to borrow strength from somebody if you're ever part of a football team or whatever team, or maybe now you support a team and you hear that your best player is not on the pitch, you say to yourself, there is no way we're going to win because our best guy is not there. But when they tell you that that player has now become available, all of a sudden, you feel a renewed sense that I think we can win. That is why it's important that we need to surround ourselves by other people, by other men within this church, of course, and just generally with men around you who will be able to encourage you, because each and every one of us need encouragement, will encourage you and will lift you up and will give you those wings that Red Bull promises to give. Other men will give you wings. And what I like about being supported by other people is that they may have gone through a similar circumstance and they give you advice. They give you gain to say, this is how you can overcome this. And I strongly feel that as a collective and as a band of men in our church, we have to coalesce around one another. We have to come around one another to support one another. Amen. And finally, as fathers, just like it was with Jairus, we stand for our faith, our families, and our community. This was a man, he was part of, we have to, I'm trying to get you to understand that the group of people that he belonged to were brutal, that he could not. Jairus, it was very difficult for them to go against what the other religious leaders believed. And so it took a lot of faith and a lot of strength for them to go against the popular belief of the day. In John 7, verse 47 to 52, it says, this is where there was division and unbelief, and the Pharisees were just going off on what the Messiah did. And remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus is the one, he was a Pharisee, just like Jairus. He came to Jesus at night. Perhaps he was a bit scared of what the others would think, so he decided to come to the Lord and ask him some questions during the nighttime. But here we've got this situation where it says, have you been led astray too, the Pharisees mocked? Is there a single one of us, rulers of Pharisees, who believes in him? And they're talking about Jesus. This foolish crowd follows him, but they're ignorant of the law. God's curse is on them. Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. Is it legal to convict a man before he's even given a hearing? He asked. They replied, are you from Galilee too? And then they said, search for yourself and see that no good thing comes from Galilee. And so these guys were considered contrarians because they went against the popular belief. And I sincerely, I have this sense on my heart that what God is asking the men of this church is to stand. To stand for our faith, to stand for our families, and to stand for our community. And if I could get all the men to stand this morning, we're just going to finish off with a prayer. As men, please stand. So just like Jairus, we're not afraid to go against the grain. We're willing to stand up for what we believe. And not just that, a key element in this is that Jairus was willing to go against what he had known all his life and move towards something superior, even though it may cost him. He knew the ways of the Pharisees, the Jewish laws, everything they had to follow. But when something superior came, he was willing to let that go. And this is what we need to do, is that when something superior comes, we need to let go of our old ways of thinking and quickly adapt to the new ways of thinking that Christ has given us through his word. pray for the men this morning. Lord, I just pray this morning, Father, that you would give all us men as your sons wisdom like Solomon, Lord God. That, Father, he could have asked for anything, for money, for fame, but he asked for wisdom. And I pray, Lord God, that you would give us wisdom, Lord God, to lead our lives, to lead our families. And Father, I also pray for our men this morning, that, Father, you would give us courage. As the disciples in the book of Acts, Lord God, were faced with obstacles, they were faced with opposition. The one thing they asked you for was courage, was boldness to declare, to stand for their faith. And so, God, I pray that you would give them courage. You would give us courage to stand for our faith, courage to stand for our families, courage to stand for our community. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you have placed us at C3 Fremantle. And Lord, we know, Lord God, that our lives are for purpose. That when opposition comes, Father, we are there for each other. We support one another. But Lord, that we would stand. We would stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father, I thank you this morning. I just invite everybody to stand as we finish. And I just want, as I read Ephesians chapter 6, this is a word to all of us. Because I know that we got some women, you know, that are strong. They're just like men, they're strong. And this applies to all of us. It says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Father, I thank you this morning for your people this morning. That, Father, we would stand for our faith. We would stand for what we believe in. Lord, Father, as the tentacles of the people that are in this house, Father, leave this place and go out across the city of Perth. Give them courage, Lord God, to stand for what they believe in. Give them courage to stand for their families. Give them courage to stand for the community. Give them courage to stand for those, Lord God, the widows and the orphans, to stand for those that are marginalized, that we stand. Father, we thank you that you have placed us in Fremantle to make a difference. And Lord, we partner with you. We partner with you. Bless your people this day, and bless all the fathers, Lord God, as they enjoy their families, as they are showered with love and just with appreciation. Let them enjoy this day. And Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father, that we look to you as our example of what a father is. And we thank you in the mighty name of your son Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Please put your hands together for the Lord this morning. And so